Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett. It's up.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside, at least for me, Ben Garrett of the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com, affiliate of Vol 3, sign up today for $1. The Riverland Roofing, New Albany branch, and alongside me here, Ole Miss great, Ole Miss legend, New Albany legend. He's not in the New Albany branch of the Riverland Roofing Studios, but he's always got that New Albany spirit about him. It's Eli Anding, former Ole Miss fullback, number 7 himself in your programs, folks. Hey, buddy.
How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. It's Georgia week. Ole Miss and Georgia this weekend. Ole Miss is undefeated, one of two undefeated teams left in the SEC. Georgia is 5-1, 3-1, playing between the hedges, and I'm going to give him a shout. My guy, Park Smith, fellow New Albanian, hollers out at me and says, Ben, how did you not remember, because earlier this week I recorded a podcast and we were talking about Ole Miss, Georgia, and he said, how do you not remember the 1996 last win for Ole Miss between the hedges, to which I said, I deserve to be shamed for this. I do. And then he went, and how did you not know to call Eli Anding? So here he is, right here and now, Georgia week.
It sounds bad the way you just rolled that out, but I'd like to know, and I should know this, but how many times had the Rebels played between the hedges in the last 29, 30 years? That's probably – I'm not putting you on the spot, but, I mean, when people say, wow, we haven't – y'all haven't beat them over there in damn near 30 years, I'm like, well, we don't – you know, we didn't play them for a long time over there.
It's true.
In the East. I'm trying to give us a little love there.
Yeah, you're trying to cover for your boy, your fellow New Albany guy. But the fact of the matter is, I deserve to be, you know, I need like 7 lashes for not getting this right, you know.
New Albany thinks of you of all things Ole Miss, so I'm a little disappointed, but you're forgiven.
Yep. Thank you. That's really all I wanted. That's all I needed. I need to be told by the GOAT himself, because before we sat down to start recording, I told Eli, I mean, it's like I remember the old days. Meet the Rebels on the field of Vol-Hemingway Stadium before they bowled the thing in. And me and my two brothers and my dad, we were showing up there. You know, we're one of the very first ones in line. Everybody takes off to go talk to the peoples, and everybody scattered about. The very first people Eli Anding saw was your friendly neighborhood Ginger Streck and his brother.
It was easy to get to me. I was a slow, fat fullback that they were like, who's that guy over there? But y'all were sweethearts. I remember those days. Those were some good times. Meet the Rebels. I remember
it. Well, see, here's the thing. This is what I've said this, and I maintained it on this podcast. I said it recently, Eli. The best New Albany football, or the best high school football player I ever saw was Eli Anding. Man, he was the best. He was the best quarterback. He was that dude. And like that. So, I mean, you go from quarterback to defense under Tubbs to start, then to fullback, man. I mean, you're the do-it-all new. I mean, you're Mr. New Albany, right? So it's only right then that you come on Talk of Champions here today to talk about Ole Miss Georgia Week and reminisce about 1996. But do you feel old that, like, you're in Nashville now and you still got one guy talking about your New Albany days?
Listen, I'm going to if this is live, I've missed out on it. But if this is going to be recorded and shown later, I'm going to make sure my kids are sitting in at least for this part, because they're like, what? You old man, you actually used to be able to run around and throw it back in the day. We don't even talk about the quarterback days anymore. But, yeah, that was a long time ago. Some good times in New Albany, man. We had a good run there.
I'm saying Eli Anding. I was raised on Eli Anding, Ross Barkley, and, you know, later on my guy Jay Kirkland went and signed with Ole Miss. I mean, it's – New Albany used to produce some dudes. This year, actually, it produced Emmanuel Tucker, 4-star offensive lineman, who's committed to Ole Miss.
My old college roommate and one of my best friends, Walker Jones, called me the other day. He goes, hey, man, we're getting a stud out of New Albany. I was like, let's go. I hear he's an animal. I'm anxious to see
you. Well, I was sitting with John Garrison was there on the sideline for Ole Miss North. Oh, no, not Ole Miss. New Albany North Pontotoc. New Albany lost the game, played terrible. But, you know, I asked him about Emmanuel specifically, and he's like, man, love his feet, love what he is. And then Emmanuel comes up and says, yeah, they want me to start in year two. And I'm like, let's go. Finally, we got us another one from New Albany going big time. You know what I mean? But it all started for me back when I was a kid, when I was a young buck with Eli Anding. He's sitting with me right now for Georgia Week. And again, Ole Miss, Georgia. Ole Miss is undefeated. I know you've been paying attention to the Rebels. Before we jump into 1996, the last win for Ole Miss between the hedges, what do you think about Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss in 2025-26 so far?
I don't know how you're not excited. I mean, he's a household name in college football. You know, ESPN loves him. All the talk shows love him. He's a walking meme, and he's a hoot. And I know that rubs some people the wrong way, but it – you know, Lane is just being Lane. So the good thing about it, though, man, when you can like him, you can dislike him, whatever, you want him coaching your football team on Saturdays. There ain't no doubt about that. So I respect the hell out of what he's done over there. And it's been a fun ride. It's a lot of fun. I can speak for a lot of 50, 51-year-old Rebels, and it's fun, man. This is rare air that Ole Miss is in right now.
Well, I mean, because back in 1996, it was a completely different time when y'all went and won between the hedges. The last time Ole Miss won between the hedges. And Eli's right. It's not like Ole Miss has played Georgia every year. We got to be a little bit more fair to the context of it. But still, the last win for Ole Miss in Athens between the hedges was 1996. And then y'all were just trying to get bowl eligible, right? I mean, this is coming off the Billy Dog years where the NCAA stuff was a mess, and then Tubbs comes in and writes things. And this was a win for y'all that, while Georgia wasn't particularly good necessarily for y'all, it was huge because it got y'all one step closer to bowl eligibility.
The word adversity gets thrown around too much in football, for sure. It's like my wife likes to make fun of all the guys who are saying we're in a hostile environment. It's always hostile. Then they scan out on Tuesday night football, and there's 5,500 people there. But right. Adversity, our team knew what adversity was. I mean, when I got there under Billy Brewer, you know, right after the first year, probation, I think second worst in NCAA history. I mean, you think about it. I think it was 24 scholarships. Wrap your head around that. 24 scholarships, two-year bowl ban, one-year TV ban. I'm sure there were some other things I'm leaving out. But you talking about tough times. It was really tough times. So that was kind of right after my freshman year, we got hit in the mouth with that. Joe Lee Dunn, interim for a year, and then Tommy Tuberville comes in. And, you know, it was a bunch of dudes. We had some dogs, and I'm sure we'll get into that. We absolutely had some dogs, but it was a small group of dogs. It was a small kennel. And, you know, what we were able to accomplish there late in our junior, senior year, we're all super proud of it. And, you know, feel like we gave Ole Miss a good showing at least. So, yeah, it was an awesome time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man. I mean, like, the things that y'all got punished for back then, I mean, they don't even exist anymore. I mean, even what Ole Miss got punished for and hit for in 2016, those things don't exist anymore, right?
And well, I will tell you this. I Googled it the other day because it's been so long, just to see, you know. And again, SMU got the death penalty. At the time, I think it was the second worst penalty in NCAA history. They mm-hmm. weren't an SEC team, obviously. Everybody knows going across straight lines. I think a couple of guys took a recruit to – I don't know, a Wendy's. Anyway, they weren't supposed to be.
Oh, God. the horror that they wouldn't got them some Frosties, God forbid.
Whatever it was, and then I saw a guy took steak dinner or something. It was just something. Like right now, I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day. He goes, I mean, that wouldn't be a good NIL deal for like a backup kicker. You know what I mean? Like what we got 3 years probation for, we couldn't get one 3-star guy for right now. So the times have definitely changed.
They've definitely changed. And like I said, that game, that win was such an important one for Ole Miss, for bowl eligibility and for other things. But also coming off all the tough stuff, and Tubbs was establishing himself as one of the best Ole Miss coaches to ever come through here, and just the revelatory nature of how he was able to step in and turn things around and make Ole Miss into a true contender. And now he's a senator.
Senator, put some respect on that name, like he tells us all the time.
Yeah, like back in 1996, if I'd have told young Eli End and young Buck, hey, listen, man, that guy right there, your head coach, is going to be a U.S. Senator in 2025, you would have said?
Believe it or not, I would have believed it. And I know I was trying to
salesman.
Make that a little better. He was a salesman like nobody ever seen. I tell you what, and we've still got a good relationship with Coach Turville. You know, what he's been able to accomplish is awesome from what he did, you know, coming through Miami ranks and then wherever else he was right before he came to Ole Miss. But coming to Ole Miss in hard times and then had the opportunity to go to Auburn. And, you know, I know a lot of people were butthurt over that, but I understand somebody wanting to better themselves. It was a great opportunity for he and his family to make some real dough. And had a great run over there. Everybody remembers him running out and showing the thumb at Alabama. I mean, they can Alabama fans can thank Tommy Turville for getting the greatest of all times into Tuscaloosa because, you know, he had a good run over there. And the fact he's a senator now, we like to joke with him. We don't talk to him that much. But when we do, it's like, man, you know, you put us through so much hell. Well, I'm going to drive through Alabama. I'm going to go 100 miles an hour. If they try to pull me over, it's like, I'm with Senator Turville.
Yeah, the least you can do is get me out of my 100-mile-an-hour ticket. That's all. The least you can do, you son of a gun, for those 2-a-days or whatever punishment you put us through, right?
You know, you mentioned him. One thing I really respect about Coach Turville was because he was hard to play for because he was one, at least as far as we knew, I felt like he was early in the stages of a head coach that ran it like an NFL head coach does, to where it's like, okay, I'm going to be over this whole deal, but I'm going to hire dudes that get it done. And he really ran it as a CEO. And, you know, in the business world now, I learned a lot from him like that, because I think for so long, coaches try to do it all. And you still see coaches running offense and defense. But for the most part, you have a coach that's kind of like, okay, I'm going to get a great offensive coordinator, and I'm going to give him everything he needs to succeed. I'm going to get a great recruiting coordinator, and I'm going to give him everything he needs to succeed. So I watched him build the team around him. To be honest, you know, we didn't have the greatest relationship with Coach Turville when he came in, and that was so different because, you know, Coach Brewer was a coach's coach, and Joe Lee Dunn was a coach's coach. And, you know, for Tubb, for the first time, I had a great relationship with our head coach in high school. But Tubb came in, and you could feel he was going to keep it separate. You know, I mean, he was in the C-suite, and you didn't go in the C-suite. And so – but what I really respect is he brought in guys like – And you'll remember this, Noel Mazzoni and Joe Panungio and Art Kaufman and Hugh Nall and Greg Knox. And I could go on and on. But those guys, I mean, they were in the trenches with us, and they were family. And I've got great relationships with most all those guys to this day, 30 years later. And a lot of guys on our team that played for them felt the same way. So he understood that he couldn't be that and do that for everybody. And he surrounded himself with dudes that got it. And that was what I learned from Coach Tubb the most now in the business world.
Ole Miss fans, football season is in full swing, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. Playing on Underdog is easy. Simply pick whether your favorite players in any sport will go higher or lower on stats. For Ole Miss, that's touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. Think Ole Miss quarterback Trinidad Chambliss will go over or under 2.5 combined touchdowns this week. I did too. It's why I made my picks on Underdog, the place to win money all season long. Ole Miss greats DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown have been winning picks all season long in the NFL. Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. And you can play with as little as $1. Download the Underdog app today and sign up with my promo code, CHAMPIONS, to score $100 in bonus funds or entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 years or older in Alabama and Nebraska. 19 plus in Colorado for some games. 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Must be present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play-and-get-terms_DFS_.html for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door. No shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Man, that's a great, great point, because one of the things that Lane Kiffin gets serious and well-earned plaudits for is being one of college football's better CEOs. I mean, this has never been as college football more big business than it is right now. And you got to have a guy that makes CEO decisions for the big business, the best CEO you can find. And Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss has proved to be the perfect pairing. But you're right, Tubbs came in and it was a change. It was something you hadn't seen before. But it also showed the progressive nature and the forward-thinking nature of Tommy Tuberville and where this all was going. And he was the man when y'all went to Georgia in 1996 and won, came back to win 31-27. And my man Eli Anding catches the game-winning touchdown pass. Wait, I forgot that you played defense to start. Like, you weren't always a fullback? They didn't immediately go quarterback to fullback for you?
I played five different positions at Ole Miss.
Okay.
I was signed as a quarterback and traveled my freshman year behind Lawrence Adams. And then in the spring, I went to safety. And then the next year, I went to H-back and U-back, which is another word for a fullback kind of in motion and run out flat to catch balls. And then my junior year, I played linebacker most of the time on goal line offense as a fullback and full fullback my senior year.
See, and I remember number 7 at fullback full senior year, but also what kind of freak athlete can just, oh, yeah, we need a safety now, Eli. Sure, I can do that. I'll be the back quarterback this year. I'll be the fullback. I mean, you know, you can't, who goes from safety to fullback? You know what I mean?
When I signed at Ole Miss, I was a single-digit 7 quarterback. I was one that would wear like a pink jersey in practice. I never got hit. The only time I got hit in high school was when we run the option, and I'd get out of bounds a lot or slide or pitch it to the tailback. And then I go over there, you know, and back up Lawrence Adams for the year. And I go into spring. I'm like, I think I got a shot here. Tear my knee up. Tubb and those guys come in and they're like, hey, man, you can run and jump and you're an athlete. And at that point, I had been on the bench, which I'd never been in my life, for a solid year. And, you know, to put the work in to be able to just get to an SEC team, but then ride the bench for a year, I was like, I'll kick. I mean, I'm not a kicker. I don't like kickers really, but Tim Mott had a big one in that game. I like Tim, but you know, I'll do whatever you want me to do. So we were undermanned. So I think that has a lot to do with it. But the fact that four or five of us played multiple positions on that team from 96 in Georgia, and we'll talk about them in a little bit, but it was just like, if you were an athlete, man, we didn't have many bodies. So we got to fill the role, and we did it.
Your fourth down 2-yard touchdown came from Stuart Patridge, gave Ole Miss the lead with 14:56 left in the game, proved to be the game winner. What do you remember about it?
We had just come out of halftime, and if you'll remember, we jumped on them early. We went up 14-0. Our defense, man, they played lights out. Brock Kreitz, Nate Wayne, Walker Jones, I was playing little, Armiga Spearman, Al Rice, the younger guys, but mainly – Those three juniors that I mentioned first, they got after it. Brock Kreitz calls the fumble. Stewart hands it to John Avery. He pumps it in pretty early. And then Walker tips a ball. Nate Wayne catches it, runs it in. We're up 14-0 a few minutes into the game. It's like, oh, what in the world is going on right now? Because they've got Robert Edwards and Hines Ward and Mike Bobo and Kirby Smart. Ever heard of him? A pretty good, strong safety. So they had some
dudes. Turned out to be a pretty good coach, too, in college football. Yeah,
he's been over there a while. So we go in at halftime, they've scored a bunch of points. I think that we're down, I don't know, 3 or something like that at half, or 10. Anyway, they scored a bunch. Mike Bobo had an incredible first half. And Coach Tubb came in, you know, you go offense goes one side, defense goes the other, and then you do your deal and he brings you together. And he just kind of brought us in earlier. He was like, and this is kind of funny, and some people may not get this. It seems kind of mundane, but I thought back on it since and kind of laughed. He just walked in, usually it's like, okay, we're gonna change up, we're gonna run a little more zone, or you know, this counter's working, guys. We're gonna do this, you know, a few things kind of like highlights of what we're gonna lean into for the second half. He's like, hey, listen, they're not gonna win this ball game because we're not gonna allow them to win it. And everybody was like, kind of looked around. I thought back on that. I'm like, listen, let's go. And now a lot of things goes into that, you know, and I'm sure the coordinators want to say this is how we're gonna do it, but he just was a matter of fact, they ain't going to win it because we're not going to allow them to win it. And, you know, we came back out after halftime and then got in a fourth and short situation. We were 4-for-4 on fourth down in that ball game. I mean, it was crazy. But I was playing linebacker, went into motion. I looked at it the other day, man, I looked slow. But I went into motion. I was supposed to chip the defensive end. It was a wham play. We always go in motion. Ole Miss saw it a lot. John Avery would come off my hip, or Deuce McAllister the next year. He was really good at it. But I would chip the end or block the end run right there. Well, they had seen that a bunch of times. So I just kind of blocked him and made him feel like he got me. And I slid out and in the flat, wide open, Stuart Patrick's dear, dear friend, like a brother, threw it over there. I caught it right in front of the Ole Miss section. I mean, there were fraternity buddies and people just, you know, diving on each other. It was crazy. It was a pretty awesome feeling. We had a lot more football to play, but it felt really good to go up.
And then in 1996, you go to the Egg Bowl. What was the final score of the Egg Bowl that year? Was that the 17 or 16?
That's the one. That was in Oxford, and that's the one it rained 92 inches before the ball game. It had to be impossible to watch. There were a bunch of fumbles and stuff, and they ended up beating us over there. It wasn't great. Now, the year after, 97, we got ours over there. That was the one with a big fight before the game. I got some scars from that one.
And, you still got scars on the hand?
I mean, that thing, they came out as total weak sauce. We were out there warming up. It was just the specialty guys, which are, you know, running backs, quarterbacks, mm-hmm. receivers, DBs. All our mouth breathers were still warming up in the dressing room. You know, linebackers, D-line, offensive line. And they got their whole team, and it went down in a hurry. I saw it happening. We were warming up as tailbacks, and I grabbed Eddie Grant. I said, it's about to go down. Our receivers were stretching. Their defensive back started walking up to them, and their defensive back coach just walked away. Like, they had talked about it, and here we go. So I think it was Grant Hurd and a few of those guys. It got going in a hurry. Anyway,
because the, All I remember about 1997, because again, man, I was 10 years old, 11 years old. The Motor City Bowl was so fun. That was one of the most fun experiences of my postseason Ole Miss football life. You know, going to Detroit around Christmas.
Going to Detroit at Christmas.
Yep. Randy Moss, Toast. And then after Randy gets his on that first big play, he ended up having a good stat line. I'm not going to pretend like he all of a sudden got shut down, but he didn't do what Randy Moss typically did once the switch was made. I think Timmy Strickland went over there and decided he was going to take on the assignment. But going back to that game in Athens in 1996, you catching the win. I mean, I'm looking at the names, man. You catching the game-winning touchdown. Brock Kreitz, Stuart Patridge, John Avery. John had 88 yards in the second half, finished with 119 on 29 carries. These are some names that, still feel very familiar to me. And I'm just curious that, as you get later on into life, I mean, you're in your 50s now, right? I mean, these guys, your teammates, what is that relationship even like still?
You know, really good. And I look back, I don't know, a couple years ago and watched a few highlights of that game. Somebody sent me something that was out there. I think it had two likes on YouTube. But I was looking at that and just seeing some of those dudes, man, we played with. We had the seniors that year are like Chris Mangum and Kyle Wicker and Lawrence Adams and Derek Jones. Those guys are studs. And, they've been through tough times too. And then our bunch, I'm going to leave names out. We had a great bond of brothers there. But ones that come to mind, you mentioned Brock Kreitz, Walker Jones, Boyd Kitchen, Stuart Patrick, John Avery, Andre Rohn, David Evans, Taboris Fisher. We had some dudes. And then the young guys came in, Ronnie and Grant Hurd, Armigas, Rufus, Todd Wade, Metcalf, Johnny Jones. So we had some dogs. We did, but not as many as a lot of people we played. But yeah, real great group. And I'm just, a few of those guys are still my best friends. And we as you get older with kids and careers and things like that, it's hard to get together with all of them. But I can tell you of any of those guys I mentioned and many, many others, it is it's a big hug and lots of laughs and smiles and pats on the back when we get together, because we were, we weren't great, but we were really proud of where we started at Ole Miss and where we left it.
Well, it's really interesting too, because when you think about those games and those years and those things, how important they were for building the foundation of what Ole Miss is now, right? I mean, to be able to come through one of the toughest stretches in Ole Miss history, and then for it to see that a very similar outcome in the 2010s, right, with Freeze and everything that went down with the Laramie stuff, and to see where it is now as a former player, that's got to fill you with a lot of pride for what Ole Miss has grown into and being a major part of what Ole Miss is now.
I'll tell you what, and we took it super serious because we totally understood it took, freshman, sophomore, junior, and seniors. And that sounds odd, but I mean, when you graduate 30 or 40 seniors and then you don't have anything in the grocery cart ready to cook dinner with. So we kind of saw that early. So Walker and I were roommates, and, Tubb and those guys would usually put us on some, really good recruits. We had Todd Wade. We got him locked in at the gym pretty quick. Corey Peterson, that was done, on the way to the bar. But, we understood, man, we need dudes. We need help. And then you look at teams now, NIL, a transfer portal, don't even get me going on all that. It is what it is. But I can't even imagine what the transfer portal's doing. But, just when we played, you have one year that kind of dips in recruiting. You feel that for years to come. So I get it. And we understood that. And that's, for us to be where we were at Ole Miss, to be able to acquire great talent that wanted to come be a part of something that wasn't where we wanted to be, but we were able to articulate and show them what we were doing to take it to better places. There's a lot of pride in that too. So we had some young guys come in there that turned out to be just absolute studs and played in the NFL for a long time. But, they had opportunities at a lot of other places that had a lot better records, facilities, you name it. But we there were some dogs recruiting, and I think they saw it and felt it, wanted to be a part of it. That's pretty awesome.
Well, I want to say one thing. Tubbs, if you're watching in your senatorial office there in Washington, D.C., you should have left this man at quarterback. The best high school quarterback I've ever seen. And look, I cover recruiting, okay? I've been to Arch Manning's high school games when he's playing against janitors and lawyers, okay? Eli Anding was that dude. So in the year of our Lord, 2025, here in the Riverland Roofing Studio, 662-644-4297, Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs. Let the world know from one Benjamin Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter, at the Ole Miss Spirit on three. Eli Anding was that dude. And number seven, and like I associate the number seven not with Michael Vick, not with John Elway. I associate it with one Eli Anding. Dude, thank you. What are you up to now? Tell the people where what you're doing and what you, all you're involved in.
Yeah, was in the furniture business for about 22 years. And, you know, I had a great run there. Just kind of felt like there was something else to do. And ran into a guy, a buddy of mine, who's been super successful. He had just acquired a company called Medical House Calls. Furniture and medical, you're like, hey, let's talk it out. So about 2 years ago, I jumped into Medical House Calls, president there. It's a smaller company, got about 10,000 clients in the Nashville area, getting ready to move to Birmingham, Alabama. But, you know, COVID taught us we can work from home. We can get our food sent to us at home. Why not get your medical provider in the comfort of your home? Let's go.
I love it. And I love the battle M in the background. He showed me his old Ole Miss helmet that he's got up there on the third shelf. I'm just saying, the man is still repping these Ole Miss Rebels, and I'm so thankful that he joined me here on Talk of Champions just to shoot the shit on Georgia Week about a very memorable win that we don't need to forget, 1996 between the hedges, what it meant coming off of everything Ole Miss was coming off of, and to rally and what it just meant moving forward. What a memorable, memorable game, and what a memorable, memorable Ole Miss Rebel and New Albany Bulldog is Eli Anding. Thank you for doing this, my friend, and let's do it again sometime.
Ben, you're the best. I appreciate you. New Albany legend right there, Ben Garrett. Let's go. Proud of what you're doing, man. Go Rebels.
See, now I feel that now like I feel like you know, I've been had a parade thrown for me like I'm a presidential candidate. I have my guy, my Amen. Dude. Who I was like, you know, that'd be like if you had your favorite quarterback come up to you and go, Eli Manning says to Ole Miss fan, hey, man, you're doing all right. That's Eli Anding, folks. That's a beast.
Instead of Meet the Rebels, if there was a Meet the Podcaster or Ole Miss writer, I'd run straight to Ben Garrett. That's what I'm doing, baby.
Oh, my man. Eli, thank you, brother. We'll talk soon.
Good to see you. Appreciate you, buddy.